Mr. Gingrich.
How are you?
Oh, I'm doing great and thrilled to be able to talk to you about your new book. Things are moving so fast. I think you almost have to write a new chapter before you finish the book, right?
Well, I think, look, I think on a daily basis, there's a plenty you could cover about Trump, but I think the big patterns are there. And part of the reason that I wrote Trump's Triumph, America's Greatest Comeback, was to put in historic context what we're seeing. That what you've got out there is a dramatic change in the country, and it's a big sweeping change. And then there are lots and lots of small specific things in between. But I think you've got to really think about that whole pattern. I think it's going to be very exciting. And so in Trump's triumph, I both try to go back to the recent past and say, here's how we got here. But then in the second half of the book about America's greatest comeback, I try to talk about what it could mean to the country and what the future could be like. It's important to see this in a large historic pattern.
Are you optimistic personally that he's going to be able to pull through all of those things that he's talking about?
I'm very optimistic that he'll get most of them. I think it's unlikely in a society as complicated as ours and with a constitutional system as hard as ours that he's going to get all of them, but I think he's almost certainly going to get a lot of them. And if he can win the election next year, I think that he will, in fact, go down in history as one of the five great change presidents, along with Jefferson, Jackson, Lincoln, and Roosevelt. And so, in that sense, I think what we're living through is truly extraordinary.
It just seems like he is making monumental changes, not only in politics, but in the world around him. I watch the news networks, they're imploding as we speak, and I think it's a Trump effect. Am I right?
Yeah, well, it's both the Trump effect and it's also just how crazy the networks have gotten. I mean, if you looked at the speech over the weekend at Winston's at the university in North Carolina by the CBS anchor, which was a vicious diatribe about Trump. I mean, here you are at a commencement with the parents and the students in a time of happiness, and this guy just goes nuts. And I think that's what's happening to people. They're looking at these people, they're realizing they lie, they're totally biased, they represent a value system we repudiate, and they're getting angrier and more frustrated as they can't get their act together. So I think the news media in many ways is crippling itself. Now, I think Trump helped enormously. The invention of the term fake news was astonishing. It just cut through. It captured for the average American what was going on. And it totally defined the left-wing news media in a way that I think people found totally believable. I once was in a museum in Italy and had the tour guide, who was Italian, turn to me and say, "You see that statue? People will tell you X. It's all fake news." And I thought, wait a second, Donald Trump's language is now universal.
It's truly astonishing. And can I ask you this? How much did Charlie Kirk and Joe Rogan and others in that alternative media have to do with that turnaround for Donald Trump?
A lot. I mean, Rogan is a case study. And this is something that Trump understood. And I think, frankly, his son, Barron, helped him with it because Barron knows a great deal about the younger podcasters. You know, Barron was getting his dad to go on podcasts that no normal politician knew about. And of course, Rogan's audience is so big that it dwarfs television news. I think I was looking the other day at the CBS Morning News. Gets about 1,600,000. Rogan's has been up to as much as 40 million. And of course, part of the difference is, unlike Kamala Harris or Joe Biden, Trump can talk for 3 or 4 hours. Trump is perfectly happy to sit there and be interviewed and have a dialogue in a way that people are just, startled by. But that doesn't fit their sense of doesn't it doesn't make him feel like a politician. So a little bit like his instinct of going to McDonald's and passing out French fries.
Right.
I mean, the fact is, no normal politician could do that. A couple of days later, I wrote that at one point in Trump's triumph that if you think about those, it's almost back to back. I mean, he does McDonald's, which, by the way, 87% of the country goes to McDonald's at least once a year. 40 million Americans, including Jeff Bezos, worked at McDonald's at one time. So on the one hand, he's at one of the most popular centers in American life. Joe Biden says that Trump supporters are garbage. And within 24 hours, they've located a garbage truck, put up a Trump sign on the truck, get him to get in the truck. Again, as a sign of what a showman he is, wearing the vest that the garbage workers wear. And so he wears the vest into the arena where there are, 50,000 people. And he says, that they tell me this makes me look thinner. I may wear it for the rest of the campaign. What do you all think? Well, it was so human. It was so human, so relaxed. He was so clearly having fun that no normal politician could pull it off.
He's different than he was first term. He learned lessons, didn't he?
Well, I think, first of all, the bitterness of what he and I both think was a rigged election. I mean, he would say stolen election day. I won't say that, but I will say clearly it was rigged. That was a shock to him. And then there was a low point. The first 4 or 5 months of 2021 was a very low point for him. And he had to make a decision. Had he been beaten and should he go home? And he has, I think, 18 or 19 golf courses. He could spend the rest of his life just going to his golf courses and having fun. Or did he owe it to himself and to the country to take on what he thought was a disaster, and which we now know was an even bigger disaster than we thought, because we basically had no president for about a year and a half towards the end. And so he decides that he's going to stay in the game. Well, at that point, there are four efforts to put him in jail, two efforts to kill him. Now, think about this. I believe, and he believes, that it was literally the divine moment when he turned his head at exactly the right second. If he had turned his head 1 second later, he'd have been dead. Now, think about that. Reagan and Pope John Paul II were both shot. And when they got together the following year, they compared notes about why did God spare their lives. And they concluded it was for the purpose of defeating the Soviet Empire. I think Trump concluded, and I talked to Speaker Mike Johnson, who was there at Mar-a-Lago the second time when they came in and said, we just arrested a guy who was trying to kill you. And two, I think, shook him. The first one was weird. The second one was a genuine. He began to realize his life really was threatened. And he and Mike went into a private room and they prayed for 2 hours. And I think that Trump, in that sense, is a very changed man. And I believe that he really does think that he owes it not just to the American people, but to God to do a good job.
And it's amazing. We hear stories like this from you. You still don't ever will hear it from mainstream media. So we don't ever get a full picture of the real Donald Trump from the regular media.
Well, look, when you both fear and hate somebody, it's very hard to have a sympathetic portrait of them. And that's where we are. I mean, these folks, and you saw it with Pelley's speech in Winston-Salem the other day at the commencement, where here are the parents and the students, and they're all happy, and they're going to graduate. And he gets up there as a CBS News senior figure, and he does this total, vicious, hate-filled speech that represented none of the values of the people that were there that day. I mean, it's an astonishing moment, and it told you just how sick the elite news media has become.
And it's amazing we hear stories like this from you. You still don't ever will hear it from mainstream media. So we don't ever get a full picture of the real Donald Trump from the regular media.
Well, look, when you both fear and hate somebody, it's very hard to have a sympathetic portrait of them. And that's where we are. I mean, these folks, and you saw it with Pelley's speech in Winston-Salem the other day at the commencement, where here are the parents and the students, and they're all happy, and they're going to graduate. And he gets up there as a CBS News senior figure, and he does this total, vicious, hate-filled speech that represented none of the values of the people that were there that day. I mean, it's an astonishing moment, and it told you just how sick the elite news media has become.